You are listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you are interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out.
Welcome back to the Screener Squad. Today we are reviewing Master of None Season 3, or Master of None Presents Moments in Love, starring Lena Waithe and Naomi Ackie, and written and directed by Aziz Ansari, directed by him for every episode, and written by him and Lena Waithe. It tells the story this season. It's a kind of a left turn from the previous two seasons of Master of None, where it follows Dev and his exploits in New York and trying to make it big as an actor and then kind of a TV personality in the second season, at least. And then in this season, it is actually focusing on Lena Waithe's character, Denise, who is Aziz's like old childhood friend. But this is a story that is about Lena Waithe and her wife, played by Naomi Ackie, Alicia. They're kind of ups and downs in their relationship, to put it lightly. But with me today, I have some great people. I have Marco.
Evening, or day, afternoon, whatever time you guys listen to this review.
Cover all the bases. We have Elliot.
Hello, hello.
And of course, we have Doggett.
Doggett by a burning fire.
And I don't even, I believe I mentioned my name right. Hello, everybody. So this third season, it's five episodes long. There's two episodes that are an hour long, and every other episode is 30 minutes long. And it's an interesting take to go down, because it is extremely just intimate about their relationship as they live in upstate New York. Lena Waithe's character is now a very successful author. She wrote a hit book, and she's writing her second book, and she's just kind of going through the motions and trying to get it done. While at the same time, her wife, played by Naomi Ackie, is having a revelation about herself, what she wants really in her life, which is a child. And Lena Waithe's character is not 100% on board with it, and from there starts to breed this conflict that is, it's very slow burning, at least at the very beginning, but once even Aziz Ansari's character, Dev, kind of comes back into the scene, he only makes a couple of cameos.
A broken shell of a man.
A broken shell of a man, indeed, because he comes in, and it is just like, oh, wow. Your life's kind of a living hell, I guess. But it kind of sort of mirrors his real life in a way, because it doesn't really go into his, what's happened to him with allegations about his personal life. But there, he at least brings his partner with him, where it kind of develops this conflict and it starts to seep into the lives of Lena Waithe's and Naomi Ackie's characters. And it's interesting. This season also, too, kind of carries the whole thing from the first two seasons, where definitely at least the second season, where it's primarily focused on the filmmaking of, 1960s and 70s Italian filmmaking, where this feels very French New Wave in a lot of ways. And it's very filmmaking-y. But what did you guys think? Marco, what did you think about season three of Master of None, Moments in Love?
It's a very abrupt left turn, just because it's... I got into this show because it's a comedy, and there's no comedy in this season three. It's definitely like the Avengers Endgame of this universe.
Yeah, Thanos does come in and snaps, and everyone goes away.
Endgame was definitely the most mumblecore of all the Avengers movies.
It's doesn't have a lot of levity. It's definitely not funny. Really, at all. Maybe there's one or two chuckles, but
I don't really even remember a chuckle, just because it was really serious probably halfway through the first episode and then just carried that tone until the end.
Well, to the show, like, it's not like a, it's a jack of all trades, you know. You know how the title goes. So it's like a Neapolitan ice cream, and it was always the best at it because it had so many flavors added to it. And this season is different because in this season, you mostly got chocolate. And no one hates chocolate. Chocolate's the best flavor of all. It's just, you know, it's five episodes of straight chocolate, and it's like, ooh, you know, some strawberry or pistachio. You know, just mix it up a bit. But no,
it's a bit rich.
You got five episodes of, you know, different aspects of chocolate. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. You know, just this show was about variety, and now it no longer is. So depending on whether or not how much of a chocolate lover you are, you know, you might get different returns on this series. Me, for one, I gave Zack Snyder 4 hours to be self-indulgent, and I'm willing to give this show 4.5 hours to be self-indulgent.
Yeah, I mean, to go with the chocolate metaphor, the chocolate was chocolate that I've had before. A lot of this was, you know, very French New Wave, very mumblecore, but it's a pretty kind of basic and predictable story about this couple and the things that they go through with, you know, infidelity and trying to have a baby and stuff. And a lot of that just kind of plays out. And a lot of this series is really spotted with long takes of not much happening.
It's very slice of life. For living in a cottage, it's very cottage core, I guess, on top of that. But yeah, it's
cottage core. What we were talking about this before the show, recordings that man, if you love scenes of just people doing laundry and dancing, oh, you're in luck. There is quite a few, just very long takes. But like you were saying, Elliot, there's a lot of scenes where it's the camera never moves. It is just static, and it's just going to show what is happening in the frame, and that's it. And they're walking in and out of frame. And I will say though that I did love Naomi Ackie's performance. Definitely, she gets to shine a lot more in the second half of the season. I guess in chapter 3 or 4, where she has a whole episode dedicated to her and what she's going through to try to have a child, and it's pretty intense. There's a lot of things that I didn't know about our healthcare system, which, speaking as a very privileged man, I think that it was very eye-opening and tragic. And again, a whole nother reason why our healthcare system in America is fucked up in so many different ways. And I thought it was really cool and important to show that in the way that it did. And it was very, you know, just humanizing and just, again, very sad. But I think she's kind of like the unsung hero, the star of the show, other than Lena Waithe. It almost seems like it was a show just to show her acting skills and just like her character to shine. Like, it was really, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, well, just that it becomes Naomi Ackie's story pretty fully at one point, you know, maybe 2/3 of the way into the series, even though it starts out sort of as more of Lena Waithe's. And she really did steal the show. Probably the strongest point for me in this.
I will say, towards your note of the healthcare professionals that you brought up, for some reason people really were attracted to the nurses in this show. Like, people that I've seen watch this, they were like, oh, like that's me. I am nurse. She is a good nurse. And they related to it. Like, they had a lot of fun with that aspect of it.
Yeah, the Naomi Ackie's character forms a bond when she's going through IVF. I guess that's what it is, the abbreviation. And she forms these bonds with, you know, one nurse in particular. Like, there's, man, that episode is, I wish that was just a whole movie on its own. Like, it didn't need any of the other context around it, because you just get it from her performance of what she's going through and what she wants and just that singular episode. And it's incredible. There's a scene where she gets a phone call with some news. We don't necessarily want to spoil anything, but she gets news, and just the, man, the emotion that she is expressing in that scene, and it's just a phone call, is kind of incredible. I'm really excited to see what she does moving forward.
And hey, I'm personally really glad we got, you know, an alternative version of a marriage story spread out to 5 hours. You know, just the complete disintegration of a marriage before our eyes. It's a good time for the whole family.
It is kind of funny that you're like, oh, I want a longer version of that pregnancy struggle. And it's like, the only movie I've seen even kind of like that is Arnold Schwarzenegger's Junior.
Hey, Alien, Species, you know, all pregnancy movies.
Yeah, that definitely had less comedy than this
did. You know, some of the comedy moments here, because of how dour the show is, the few moments of, like, levity really do hit, though. Like, even though it's kind of a sad for most of it, when Aziz Ansari's on screen, him and his and the main star of the show, like, they hit, their chemistry is still strong.
Yeah, and you could definitely talk about how, or I was mentioning earlier, when it was definitely a slower burn at the first episode, like the first like 17 or so minutes just kind of shows them living and doing stuff at the cottage and on their little farm. And then as soon as Aziz comes on screen, and there's this whole scene with his girlfriend, and they're all talking after dinner, and it the conflict that he brings in really speeds things up, and I got super invested of what was happening moving forward. And I forget about that, though, because in the first two seasons of Master of None, it does that very well. Like, everything is, again, kind of mumblecore-ish, but also just
New York, baby.
Well, when conflict does happen, it is so realistic. It feels like the way that it just evolves. I was like, God damn, it is. It gets really, obviously, very intense towards the later half of the season. But yeah, I
mean, it is kind of weird in context of what the show is, that Lena Waithe's character was always the smart one, that it was like had all the answers for Dev's problems. So it was weird that this show is about her problems because she's not smart. I mean, she's literally not making Dev level choices in season 3, at least in the beginning. Actually, me all the way through, actually.
Well, she's very successful, but if there's one thing the show taught me, it's, you know, I actually really related to her a lot. And then I realized, oh, that's because I'm a bad boyfriend. Oh, I get it. I'm bad at relationships.
Well, speaking of bad relationships, let's start breaking this up then, guys. Let's go into final thoughts then. Elliot, why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, I have also seen the first two seasons of Master of None and liked them. Definitely like them more for their comedy than for the drama. I kind of like what this was doing. I think the mumblecore kind of new wave thing was maybe a little overdone, maybe somewhat not necessary sometimes. A couple years ago, David Lynch gave us like a 5-minute shot of a guy sweeping a room, and I found that a lot more interesting than some of the 45-second static shots that happened here. But that being said, there's a lot of good performances from Lena Waithe and especially Naomi Aki. I'm really excited to see what she does. You know, I could really see her leading, you know, something in the Marvel franchise or going and doing Star Trek or something. So for that, I'm probably going to give this 6 out of 10 upstate cottages.
Doggett, how about you? What are your final thoughts?
There's some sadness in this, you know. One of the great comedies starring, you know, people of color, you know, gone, kind of. You know, we're more dramedy territory now, and I expect we'll probably stay there. The next season will probably be about one of the other side characters from the show, and I look forward to that. But a little part of me does mourn what we did lose. Oh well, fuck the old stuff. We got a new dramedy now. This new world order, you know, this is made for almost a new demographic, and congratulations to y'all. You know, you got your 5-hour serious dramedy with people of color, you know, nothing to sneeze at, you know, round of applause to everyone, because it's still good. It's still, I would say, an important watch for some people. It's gonna catch some people in their feelings. And what's not great about that? For me personally, I probably give it 7 out of 10 moments where I fucked up in a relationship.
I would assume it's much more than that. Marco, what are your final thoughts?
I mean, I came into this just like, oh man, I got hit by a left turn of getting just like a really sad drama. I don't even think there's comedy in this, really. It's just a drama, which then Doggett kind of, over this podcast, kind of turned me on to being like, all right, no, that's the whole idea. It's Jack of all trades. So I'm looking forward to season 4 where Arnold's a serial killer and we get a horror season of what's going on. that's the only thing, is that it's kind of on me what I didn't like from this season. It's just that when I fell in love with the show, it was because I liked all the other characters. I liked Brian. I liked Aziz's dad just being goofy. Like, we don't get any of those characters this season. All we get is a really, really, bittersweet tale of love and love loss. And it's a really good watch, but it just wasn't what I was expecting from this. So me personally, I'll rate it 6 out of 10 hair plugs. But if I had seen this out of context as a just a normal TV show, season 1, it'd probably be like an 8 out of 10 or 7 out of 10.
No, I understand that. And definitely the hair plugs part. But I do understand that. Yeah, with the context of the first two seasons, if you're going into this thinking that this is going to be a continuation or the same kind of style, you're dead wrong. Like, it's very different, and I agree with Doggett 100%. Like, that's a really good thing, and I am actually looking forward to see if they do anything else after this. This maybe becomes just some type of anthology show. Because remember, there is an episode, it's either in season 1 or season 2, it's probably season 2 because they took
season
a lot
two.
Of... yeah, where the whole episode is just following random people in
New York, baby!
And it was incredible. I loved that episode.
That was a really great episode. The only thing I remember is dancing to Vangabus.
But I think that Aziz is actually kind of a talented director, so I'm looking forward to what he does moving forward. And Naomi Aki, I think, is a fantastic actress, and I just love Lena Waithe anyway. But I think that if you want to have a very introspective about 3.5 hours of your time to watch something, some pretty dramatic things that are happening in a relationship, then definitely give this a watch for it. And then everything else around it, just the technique and the acting is really, really great. Just be prepared. There's not a whole lot of levity at all in this one. But I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 roses for your lonesome. So take that for what you will.
Lisa, take me back. I'll give up podcasting. These guys don't mean shit to me. Please, please.